Welcome to the latest series of the Women Who Sport podcast. This series is made possible by the support of Boob Armour, who make protective inserts that fit inside a sports bra and protect breast tissue while training or competing. The inserts are lightweight, comfortable and suitable for all sporting activity. Check them out at www.boobarmour.au or through the links on the Women Who Sport social media channels. We're incredibly lucky to be working with a company that are leading the way with the protective equipment offered to female athletes, giving everyone the confidence to participate in sport. Okay, welcome to episode number 7 of our series Big Conversation, where we're absolutely delighted to be joined by Lucy Campbell, CrossFitter. CrossFitter who can actually say she's the 16th fittest in the world, which I think is really badass.
Super badass, like unbelievable story, former swimmer, former gymnast. A lot I can personally like resonate with her story in terms of body image and training attitudes and the way that she's fueled and the different reasons and how her story and journey has changed is remarkable.
And when we were talking to her, all I could think of was, Bonner, this is you. Like, she'd gone from individual sport to team sport, the cortisol injections.
Literally, Bonner. The wrist. I was like, oh my gosh, I really know about this wrist situation because I'm similar.
Yeah, the what else? Like that ability to push yourself. Everything she was saying, I was like, this is Sarah Bonner in CrossFit.
She's my soul sister. Right.
No, okay. Such a cool conversation.
Let's crack on with today's. Oh no, no, no. Highs and lows.
Yeah, highs and lows. So I'm prepared this week.
You are prepared.
What have you got, Bonner? Chat to me.
Okay, so my highs are Women's Six Nations has finished. Okay, that's not my high, but the fact that on Super Saturday, record-breaking crowds for Scotland, record-breaking crowds for La Crunch, what was it, 58,000 people in Twickenham. That is phenomenal. And then the next day, you have an Arsenal game, packed out, sold out stadium. Like, phenomenal. That is a huge high for me.
Yeah, I was similar, like big high was just all the attendance at different women's sports over the week. I am going to be controversial in this podcast and say that the 4,800 at Dam Health were louder on the TV than the 58,000 at Twickenham, but
love it.
We're obviously very biased. So what you were saying, so April 14th, 2013, there was 1,406 fans attending the Arsenal Wolfsburg semi-final in the UCL, the same game. Same teams competing 10 years later this past weekend, those 60,063.
It's incredible. It just shows there is an appetite for women's sport.
I also seen, similar vibes. So the game at Nou Camp, sorry, sometimes I try and talk about football and I really don't know what I'm talking about, but said that brought in 1.2 million, which was a record for the stadium. So nobody's watching women's sport. It's not making any money. It is.
It really is. It's going back to what Rachel Corsi said the other week, that if we just have an attitude that it will happen, America have proven it can happen. We just need to do it and stop putting barriers up, really.
Absolutely. No, it's such, I feel like we're seeing this every single week in the pod, but it is just such an inspiring time to be in and about it.
Exactly.
So, bad news of the week.
Okay, we should do bad news first.
Oh yeah, we should do bad news first. Over the last couple of weeks, we haven't had bad news.
No, and mine is still like, all I was going to say is that it just seems like there is a load of injuries in the women's football like team at the minute. And I just feel for them because the World Cup is around the corner and a lot of them have had knee ops or ankle ops. And I'm like, they're ruled out. And is it an S&C thing? Do we need to do more research into menstrual cycle and training? Or actually, is it just a sheer coincidence that a load of athletes are getting injured at the minute? Like, what is going on? Is it their calendar? I don't really know, but it's a low that I think needs more investment, more research in.
No, totally agreed. And like, I've seen stuff like the boots that we wear for
decades and centuries have all, like, everything that exists in sport has been designed for men. And obviously it's amazing that in the last 5-10 years we've seen a massive shift in who is competing at sport, but like, it does make me think, is that part of it? Is it, do we need boots designed for female feet, knees, hips? Can things like that be done to decrease the injury? Because I agree, it seems like it's like not normal.
Yeah.
No, couldn't agree more. And the other one I'd seen on the news was, okay, I'm really talking about something that I know nothing about again, but that menopause is a huge reason that women are dropping out of sport.
Menopause?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Wait, as in people at an older age?
Yeah, basically. But I think they found that is like a really significant ending point for people being active.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah, no, like, I feel like surely that there's more reason to keep going because your body's changing and you need some, like, release or social aspect in your life.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest, I don't know what the solution for that one is because I'm not there. Yeah. But it is bad.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Maybe our next podcast we get some sort of specialist in.
Yeah, it's talking about the menopause.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should have started with the bad news, but no, real exciting time for women's sport. Had such good feedback on this series of the podcast, which we absolutely love hearing, so we really appreciate everybody who's listening in, and yeah, we're just so excited that we get to share another incredible story with you. Enjoy. Sharon Martin, take it away.
Okay, so something to just ease us in. You're in the CrossFit gym, you're having a little bit of a dip in motivation. What bangers are you putting on the speakers?
This is really embarrassing. Like, musicals playlist.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. I train a lot on my own. And like, my worst kind of, when I don't want to train, is when I've been coaching all morning. So I've been in the gym from 6:30. It's now like 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock. I'd maybe had a coffee or and a bit of lunch, and I just, you know, and you've got to just start. And a lot of the time I'll just on like Wicked or really rogue like that, but just like makes me want to sing along, and then all of a sudden I've like started warming up, and then I'll change it if I need to, if it's like a little bit kind of not helpful for what I'm trying to do with the session, I'll change it. But yeah.
Oh no, I love that. Jade Conkle's the same. She loves a musical. She's like the most like, yeah, aggressive athlete as well, and will be like banging out Wicked. And I'm like, oh, yeah, crazy.
Thing is, like, Disney hits as well. Mm-hmm. There's some great ones in there. Like, for me, it's anything that just like starts me training. Like, I know that once I start training, I'm usually pretty good. The motivation then kicks in. Like, you know, that desire to push myself is always there, or usually there. It's actually just the process of starting that I need to do. So yeah, anything that will get me going.
Love it.
Love that. So basically, yeah, we've never had a podcaster on the pod. We've never had a CrossFitter on the pod before. And yeah, like, I honestly don't know a lot about like CrossFit competitions and how that works. So that'd be amazing if you could tell us about that process, like on competition day, what that looks like for you.
Yeah. So first of all, kind of, do you know what CrossFit is? Because not a lot of people know.
Like, my understanding is like athletes just pushing themselves really hard.
Like, world fittest person. So I feel like, yeah, for the sake of us and a few potential listeners that are on the same level as us, just go Billy Basics.
Yeah. So it's basically kind of a mix of everything. The whole idea of CrossFit, I'll talk about it as like the sport at the kind of elite level. What goes on in CrossFit gyms is kind of different, but I can talk quickly about that. But basically it's kind of a mix of everything. Like, at the elite level, we'll be tested on components of CrossFit, so that might be like cardiovascular capacity. So obviously if you do any of the workouts at any kind of intensity, there's some kind of cardiovascular element in there. But at the same time, we'll do running. When we're at the games, we'll swim, we'll do biker, rower, like assault bike and that kind of thing. And then you've got like the gymnastics side of things, so that's the silly pull-ups that everyone hates, like ring muscle-ups, handstand walking, handstand push-ups, those kind of things. And then you've got like the weightlifting side of things. So you've got like the powerlifting stuff that we'll do. So like squat, bench, dead. And then you've got the Olympic weightlifting. So clean and jerk, matches. And sometimes they're really heavy and they're for one rep, or sometimes they're like multiple reps and we call it barbell cycling. So you're basically holding onto the bar and doing that movement over and over. So CrossFit comp can kind of be a combination of like any of those things tested in multiple different ways. So it might be that you've got like a 3-minute workout where it's like a flat out sprint kind of thing, or you might have pure CV, like they had a marathon row at the games in 2018, so it was like 42 kilometers on the row. It was the world's most boring event to watch, but like that's kind of the other side of it, the extreme side of it. But you would only ever get an event like that at the games. So yeah, it can be tested in kind of AMRAP. So you've got a set amount of time, you've got three exercises, how many rounds of those three exercises can you do within that set amount of time? And obviously the more rounds you do, the bigger score wins. So that's kind of how things tend to be tested in CrossFit comps. Or it's like lift the most, super simple. But what goes on at like a basic level at like the boxes is that it'll be kind of a variation of what we do. So let's say that the workout is like 10 clean and jerks at 60 for men, 42 and a half for women, 10 ring muscle ups, and then, I don't know, 20 burpees. Everyone will kind of do a variation of that workout. So it might be that you do it lighter. It might be that you change the ring muscle up for another kind of pulling movement, or you do a scale of the ring muscle up. And then the burpees, like burpees are generally pretty accessible, but let's say that you've got like a 60-year-old that struggles getting on and off the floor, then they might do it to a bench or something, so they don't have to go all the way down to the floor. So like the whole idea is that everyone is doing a similar workout. The intention of the workout is the same in terms of what we're trying to get out of it, but people will do different versions of that to fit their level.
That's interesting, actually, because that's something that we wanted to get onto, is that CrossFit, like you're competing at the elite level, but it does seem that it's really inclusive and it has like a really like prominent community feel.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's part, like, you guys know, whenever you're training with people, there's always going to be some element of like community. Like one of the things that I used to love about swimming training was that you were like in the trenches with the people that you're, it's that kind of feel. Everyone is ending themselves in the session, and like, yeah, just that kind of mutual act of, you know, it's slow impending death, is like, it brings you all together. And that's kind of what happens in the CrossFit gym. Like, there's very much that kind of culture of like, we're not finished until the last person's finished. So everyone's kit stays out until the last person has finished a workout. You know, we all give a little clap at the end of it. That, like those kind of cringy things, but really like, you know, create that community that we talk about in CrossFit that you don't get if you just go to a Globo gym, or you don't necessarily get if you're going to like, you know, a London boot camp type thing. Like, we try to encourage people to get together outside of the gym, and there have been times where they've gone for a little hike or like whatever. That element of community is like what CrossFit gyms pride themselves on, as well as like, you know, encouraging people to be fit. But it really, there is like, there's diversity within the boxes, but there could be more. Like, I would say it generally is pretty inclusive, but trying to get people to see that it's inclusive can be quite difficult. And that's definitely like one of the things that CrossFit kind of went through in 2020 with the whole George Floyd thing, is that actually it was like CrossFit's maybe not super inclusive. Like, you know, we actively try to be, but then when you look at the athletes at the top level, there's not a huge amount of representation in terms of race and that kind of thing. So we are open to all, but whether or not that's kind of realized yet, I think, is another thing.
Cool. And I think it's really cool that you guys have like recognized that, and that CrossFit is actively trying to, yeah, to make that better.
Yeah, for sure.
A big question I had about CrossFit is, so when you go and compete at these elite competitions, when do you find out what events you're doing? Like, it blows my mind, like, how many things you guys need to be good at.
Yeah. So if we look at, like, semis, for instance, so semis is the level before you get to the game, and each region has their own semi-final event. We probably found out all of the workouts by the Wednesday before we competed on the Friday, maybe the Tuesday, but it's pretty last minute. Like, you don't have a huge amount of time to kind of test all of them or anything like that. But hilariously, that's actually pretty good for CrossFit. Like, you get to the games and you'll know some of the events. That's not true, actually. We definitely found out one of the events, the first event at the athlete dinner on the night before the games.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and then they'll like release certain ones like the day of. So you basically get taken to the briefing for that day. You'll find out the event for that day, like the events for that day. It's yeah, it is pretty last minute. But also, that's like the other element to the games, is like dealing with, we talk about the unknown and the unknowable in CrossFit, and I think sometimes that's taken to the extreme a little bit too much. But like, the whole idea is that you should be able to prepare yourself, or prepare yourself in terms of training in a way that means that you should hopefully be able to tackle these kind of events. It's like, the higher the level, the more last minute the event becomes on the whole. Not the event, the like release of the events become.
Like, mentally, yeah. That, as athletes, we love having a plan, like a training schedule. Yeah. Even before we go into a training session, like leaders at Quinn's, for example, have gone to the coaches being like, we need session plans, because yeah, we hate turning up to training not knowing really what the detail is, yeah, let alone going into a competition where you're like, I don't know if I'm going to be lifting today, running today, on a yeah, ski erg. Like, that's yeah, tough mentally.
Yeah, like, it's hilarious because there might be like one new thing that they kind of throw in that's not really been done before and that kind of thing. And so you kind of know to expect that. You know to go to the games and expect that something will get chucked in that you've got to adapt and you've got to just figure it out. So literally on the first day, we were meant to have like four events on the first day and then a rest day. And then, so it goes Wednesday, you've got events, Thursday, you rest, and then you've got Friday, Saturday, Sunday where you've got events. It rained, so then we couldn't do one of the events. So that then got moved to Thursday. So then we didn't have a rest day on Thursday, which I was kind of fine with because we trained enough for this not to be a problem. But the last two events on the Wednesday, there was a new movement in one of them. They brought out like the powerlet bars, you know, like you have in gymnastics, like the men's gymnastics, the P bars. So they had those. We basically had to like waddle across them, not using our legs, which is why it was a waddle. Waddle across them, do dips, waddle back, do dips. And you had like a set amount of dips to do. And if you didn't do the dip, you basically had to restart it and then finish the dip. So every time, you basically got more and more fatigued if you didn't do the set amount of dips, because then you had to do the waddle again. And that had never been done before. Like, those things aren't in CrossFit gyms. And I'm rubbish at dips. So that was the first kind of thing that went really badly. The second thing was literally the event after. There was pegboards, which they were like game changing in kind of 2018 or whatever, but now they're pretty standard. So fine with them. And then you had to do 75 unbroken single unders. So single unders is just a normal skip. You know how like everyone would do, you do it in a playground. Anyway. Then after that, pistols, so single leg squats, and then a really cool handstand ramp, which I love. So I was really looking forward to this event, except for the fact that I figured out on the floor that I cannot single under. So I didn't get past that. It was like an elimination, and each round got more and more difficult, and it finished off with crossovers. So basically, like, the rope goes under your feet twice, but one rotation is normal and one rotation is with your hands crossed like that. No one had ever done these before. So that was like the massive curveball. But basically, like, again, when I first started CrossFit, I knew that I kind of loved it enough that I could be competitive and wanted to be competitive with it. So I kind of skipped learning single unders, which I was always notoriously bad at as a kid anyway, and just started learning double unders. And so I just kept tripping on the single unders, so I never got past the single unders and got eliminated in the first round. So I was like, okay, it's fine. Like, did really badly in these two events, but you know, that's like the curveball events kind of done. Anyway, no, the curveball events was not done for this year, and they introduced another new event. So when we do handstand push-ups, you normally would have your feet and your bum against the wall. So we had to do a wall-facing handstand push-up, so that's with our belly facing the wall, but to a deficit as well, so our head goes past our hands. And we also had to climb up onto blocks that are like this far off the floor on our hands. So we had to walk in, climb up, press up, and then do these handstand push-ups. So that was another like curveball thing. Anyway, when
savage.
It was horrendous. And also, if you want a laugh, there is a hilarious video of me on YouTube doing this, failing, and then like slugging to the floor.
Oh my God, we'll find that bit on our Insta page.
Yeah, it's so bad.
Yeah, anybody listening that can't see us, me and Bonner just keep like dropping our jaws.
I can't even do a handstand.
It's hilarious. I come from swimming where it's like I have my one job. Like open water, yeah, things can kind of change. It's a little bit looser, but like, you know, you go swimming, you have one job, you're going up and down a black line. There's nothing really that's going to affect you or anything like that. So then when this like third event came out with this curveball event again, I like had a hissy fit, and my coach is the closest he's ever got to like telling me off. He was like, Lucy, you need to like focus here, because we had maybe a couple of hours until the event. And I was like, for God's sake, you've already had two like stupid events and now we've got this and blah, blah. But that was my like process of trying to vent so that I was then ready to do the event, because had I gone into the event with all of these thoughts, like I would have still been thinking it on the floor. And so it is one of the things that I kind of struggle with in the sport, that like I do have to be ready for anything that can come up. And it's definitely like taken a lot of adaptation for me, because whenever I used to swim, I knew exactly what I was doing like years before I was actually doing it, you know. So yeah, it can be like, I do think it, they can take it to extremes sometimes, and like things will go wrong, the organization won't be great, and they're like, oh, but it's fine because it's the unknown and the unknowable and you have to adapt. And I'm like, no, this is just bad organization.
It's crazy to me how many events you guys do in a weekend, like how you train for that, but also that, like, what do you do when, yeah, I guess an event that, like, we all have those things we don't like. What if your least favourite is, like, what you're getting judged on? That mentally, that's so tough.
Yeah, it's like, the way that I think of it is, if it's come up in that format, it's then done. Like, the likelihood is, if you're really bad at one movement, once it's come up, it's then not going to be tested again. So the worst has happened. The event has come up that I didn't want to happen. But that's now done. So it can be quite difficult to deal with. But then that's also, you know, the whole point of like the way that we train. I always think of it as like lowest hanging fruit. So you're trying to bring up the lowest hanging fruit through all of it, because you don't need to win every event. You don't need to win loads of events. You just need to like be kind of above average at all of them, you know, and then actually you'll do really well. So yeah, like I came 16th at the games, had two event wins, and then like three that were probably bottom half, that like bottom five. Like I had some really, really bad events, but that was out of 40. So it kind of shows you that like I had the extremes and then kind of ended up in the top half of the field. So yeah, it's just constantly trying to make sure that we don't have any workouts that come up where we're like, oh, this is like a worst case scenario for me.
You mentioned your your swimming background. You've also done gymnastics. How has that sort of multi-sport background helped you transition into CrossFit?
Oh, loads. Like I've always been really sporty. Like when I was at school, I was like in all of the school sports teams. So I did athletics, hockey, swimming, netball, like all of them. And I think it's just that kind of like multi-skill ability. Like I have okay hand eye coordination, you know, not incredible, but like not bad. My sisters are, they're not great, but like those kind of things, like having the ability to do loads of things. But like with swimming and gymnastics specifically, like there's so much of gymnastics that comes into CrossFit weirdly, I never lost the ability to handstand walk from gymnastics. So I had that skill coming into CrossFit already. And then I think, like, with swimming, obviously, like, number one, swimming is a massive skill that helps me. Like, it was probably the main reason why, well, solely the main reason why I won one of the events at the Games. The cardiovascular capacity that I have from, you know, swimming for 2 to 4 hours a day, but also that, like, ability to kind of switch off, but also stay attentive, like, the ability to, like, find what pace or know what pace I can kind of hold for a long period of time, that really helps me. And not by, like, any visual cues. Like, when you're swimming, you don't have the ability to look at a clock, not until you finish your, like, interval or anything like that. So I have to know, based on how I feel, what pace I'm going at. And that is a skill that I've definitely been able to take into CrossFit.
Being comfortable in dark places, I feel like that's probably a big one you've taken as well. Like, swimming is a brutal sport.
Oh, for sure. There are some sessions that I'm like, that I still look back at and I'm like, oh God, I don't know how we did that. Like, it was horrendous.
What was it that actually first got you into CrossFit?
So I had quit swimming after second year of uni. I kind of wasn't fully happy with it. Like, I think had there been different circumstances, I probably would have carried on swimming, but I felt a little bit trapped. Like, I wasn't loving my coach. I didn't feel like there was anyone else that I could move to. I still had another year of uni and I didn't feel like I could go on another year feeling the way that I felt. So I ended up quitting and I felt so lost. Like, I, you know, swimming had been my life for a good, like, 8 years, or, you know, I'd been swimming for longer than that, but swimming had been my life for 8 years. And so then when I came back for third year, I joined a hockey club. I'd been, like, a county level hockey player when I was younger and stuff, but, like, never really taken it seriously. I definitely wasn't as good as I would want to be at any sport, but, like, I really enjoyed it. And honestly, like, joining hockey was probably my best, like, it was the best thing for me because I met loads of new people. Like, previously, my friends had only been swimming friends. And Loughborough kind of created that we all lived as swimmers and everything like that. So we lived together, trained together, like, a lot of us were on the same course. So it really was just a swimming community. So joining hockey opened up a whole, like, new world for me. I probably went out more in third year than I did through my whole of my first 2 years at uni. Like, it was hilarious. Then I started my master's and I did my master's part-time. And I was working at the tour gym in Loughborough at the same time. And I was, like, doing hockey, training a bit in the gym and doing, like, you know, the classic pure gym classes. And there was this one called Pure Rig. It's now called Pure Functional. But it was basically, like, the way that Barney, who was the guy that runs the class, the way that he did it, it was, like, kind of a very tame CrossFit. And he basically was like, look, I think you should try CrossFit. I think you'd really enjoy it. So I went to my local CrossFit gym and literally, like, from the second that I stepped in there, I did the first session and I was like, yeah, this is it. Fully hooked. Like, it was so cool. And the atmosphere in there was really good. And there was, like, such a variety of people there, but, like, everyone's mentality was kind of the same. It's like, we're going to go in, we're going to work hard. And obviously, I talk about this and I think it sometimes puts people off, but obviously, like, hard is, it's different for different people. Like, you know, my level of pushing myself hard is not the same as, you know, my mum's level of pushing herself hard, but, like, everyone was training their hard. And I just loved it. Like, there was so much going on. There were so many things that I could, like, play with. And, like, even now, CrossFit training, it feels like playtime. And I think that was the thing that, like, I was like, God, there's so much that I can do. Whereas with swimming, it was like, right, I can swim. And now I'm just going to keep swimming harder and harder, especially as an open water swimmer. It's like, you don't get to do the fun stuff with, like, the power blocks and, like, have a whole session focused on dives. Like, you don't get to do that stuff. You're just, like, plowing through the water. And so it was just, like, completely different to anything that I'd done before. And that was the thing that kind of really, yeah, hooked me for it.
No, I love that. That is so cool. And I didn't know that you were Loughborough. Me and Bonner also came through the Loughborough pathway. So I think you kind of touched on it there. So over the last 4 years, your world ranking has gone from, this is I found it across my website. So 1,811 in 2019, 365th in 2020, 99th in 2021, and now 38th in 2022 after coming 16th in the CrossFit Games. Like, that is hugely inspiring, and it's so cool to see that progress like that. And I even seen that you competed with a broken wrist. So tell us about that, because that is mad.
Yeah, so it's been a very interesting year. Now that I look back on it, I'm like, how the hell did I do that? But basically, like, so the season starts with the Open, which is like a fully worldwide event in February where anyone can do it. So started with the Open in February, and then you have quarterfinals in kind of March, April time, and then you have semifinals in June, and then you have the Games in August. So I'd had a few wrist problems before, kind of last year, but that was mainly to do with like forearm tightness and that kind of thing, like pulling on my wrist. And then it just started to like feel really quite persistent. And so it turns out that there was a lift that I failed in February last year, and I've got it on video, and I failed the lift and it hurt my wrist, and I'm like holding my right wrist afterwards and stuff. But then I carry on the session and like actually finish with a decent clean at the end of it. And then there was another time where I was warming up for snatches, and they weren't massively heavy, like it was maybe 55 kilos I think, and I felt this like crunch in my wrist. And after that I was like, that's getting quite sore now. But like, we were midway through the season, I could still do everything. So I was a bit like, okay, I'm going to carry on. You know, athletes get niggles all the time, so it's kind of normal to have something that's a little bit sore. And so because I could do everything, I didn't really think twice about it. Carried on, went through the game. As I was like getting towards the end of the games, it was like really getting quite sore. So we were just like, right, well, you know, after the games, had basically a month off it and see if that helped. And it just felt like it was getting worse. And so this is a very long story, because I feel like I've been through 100 consultants to try and sort this out. But went to the first consultant. We did an x-ray. They said there was nothing wrong on the x-ray. We did an MRI. He said that there was a lot of inflammation on the MRI. So they gave me a cortisol injection. It didn't work. Like, there was nothing that changed really. So then I went to a different guy, and he was more sports specific, like dealt with athletes at a high level, dealt with Team GB athletes in the past and that kind of thing. And he was like, right, let's do an ultrasound guided injection. So I did that, again, no change. And he was like, well, there's nothing wrong with your wrist, so it has to be your shoulder stability. You need to work on your shoulder stability. And the whole time I was like, look, shoulders are pretty stable. Like, I'm strong overhead. And he just kind of wasn't letting up. And my coach was then like, look, is there any surgical procedure that you can do this? Like, we are prepared to write off this season if we have to, for the sake of kind of making sure that I have a longer career if we can. And he was really reluctant, but then was like, yeah, we can, you know, basically burn out the inflamed tissue. And I basically decided that I didn't really want him to do it if he didn't feel like it was the right thing. And it was obvious that he didn't feel like it was the right thing. So we went to a third consultant, and he was like, well, you've had two steroid injections. We could give you another one, but I doubt it's going to elicit any better response. So he went in for the surgery, and he found the broken bone in there. So he found a broken lunate bone, which is like one of these bones here. It's really uncommon to break. It usually happens as a result of trauma. So it kind of turns out that I must have broken the bone at some point between those two lifts, the clean that I failed and then the snatch a couple of months later. So yeah, it turned out that I had obviously spent the whole season competing on a broken wrist. And it's also like a really complicated fracture. So it's not like broken in two, it's like smashed. There's like two slightly bigger pieces, but there's like five pieces in there. So repair is looking really difficult. It's mad. The surgeon, once he found the fracture, was saying to me, like, I think you should be prepared to look for other sports, essentially. But I don't feel like I'm done with CrossFit yet. Like, I've not been in the sport for long. I feel like I've only just started to kind of find my feet with it and that kind of thing. And so we've just started the process of looking to see if cutting the nerves to the wrist is an option. So it basically like dampens the pain signals to the wrist, because they can't fix it any other way, in a way that would allow me to carry on CrossFit.
It's mad, but, and like, I think folk that don't play sport would be like, why would you do that? But yeah, when you're in something, you literally do anything you can to get on the pitch or to get to a competition. So like, I get that. That's brutal though. Like, broken bones are sore.
Yeah. The thing that I've been trying to sort of deal with this whole time is that, like, as much as I really want to carry on, like, I also don't want to make any decisions now that I'm going to really regret when I'm 60. I know our careers are limited. Like, you know, it's not going to be my whole life. I'm not going to be competing my whole life. And so I don't want to make a decision for the sake of, you know, the first 30 years of my life that will affect the last 60, you know? So like, it's been really difficult to try to weigh up, my options. So like, I've always been asking, like, does this have any long-term negative side effects?
Yeah.
Because that needs to be taken into consideration. Like, I don't want to be, if it was a knee injury, I wouldn't want to be hobbling around my whole life because I've made a terrible decision when I was 26. So yeah.
Oh no, that is a really tough place to be. And like, friends, teammates, like ourselves, have had like misdiagnoses before, or things that have gone left untreated. And yeah, when you have to then question your career and that is your life, is a tough place to be.
Yeah, for sure. And like, the thing is, as well, as athletes, that like, we know our bodies so well. So the whole time when he was like, oh, it's your shoulder stability, I know that my shoulder stability can be better. I also know that I am strong overhead.
Yeah.
And so I was like, there's got to be something else. Like, something is not right. And so it was almost a relief when he found the fracture, because I was like, oh, thank God, I'm not weak. I'm not like psycho for thinking that like there was something wrong with me. Like, I knew that something wasn't right.
Yeah.
And in a way, it's been like weirdly relieving, but also then now I'm like, oh, I kind of wish I didn't know. Like, I kind of wish I hadn't gone for help and I tried to carry on. Like, it's such a bizarre place to be in. I'm having very strange conversations in my head.
No, again, it's like when you go for a scan and you're like, I really don't want something to be wrong, but equally I kind of do, because I've kicked up a fuss that something's sore. And you're like, okay, I'm not being a psycho. I actually am injured. I'm not training for a wee bit because of this. Like, I know exactly what you mean.
I think that's the whole thing. Like, you know, we, as athletes, you don't want to be perceived as being weak. And like,
yeah.
So actually, like, if I go for help and if I'm like, no, something is wrong enough for me to go and see someone about it.
Exactly.
Like, I really hope that there is something up, because like, I know that I'm not like the boy who cried wolf. I trust that if something feels off, it's probably off.
No, completely. And talking of perceptions and things is another sort of angle that we wanted to speak to you about. You've spoken on social media about your struggle with body image and with food. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah. If you talk to a lot of swimmers, it's probably quite rife. But like, for me, it kind of started when I was actually a gymnast. So I had a gymnastics coach that her daughter was in the same group as me, and she was coaching us. And she would always kind of comment on her daughter's body. She would call her fat when she was mad at her. And like, this girl was not, like, she was not. She was lanky. She was like a long athlete, but she had an incredible physique. So I think I kind of internalized some of that, because it's like, you know, if she thinks she's fat, bloody hell, what does she think about me? And I've always had this thing about my legs, and like, I've just always felt like my legs are big, and obviously now they are, but because I'm really strong. So it's like that kind of definitely started to play on my mind. We would always kind of be encouraged not to diet for competitions, but to eat healthily. And I fully bought into it. Like I was like, well, yeah, you know, if I can be a kilo lighter for this comp, then everything's going to feel a bit easier. I also started to notice that, like, as my body was changing, I was kind of more uncomfortable in a leotard. And bearing in mind, I quit gymnastics when I was 12. I had not started puberty by that point. So, like, my body hadn't really started to change. I had just become a lot more aware of it. So I wasn't really super comfortable in a leotard. So I would wear, like, we have these like tiny gymnastic shorts. So I would wear those, and I would wear a t-shirt on top and that kind of thing. And anyway, like when I then moved on to swimming, it was kind of fine for the first couple of years. And then I did have a few comments about my body. I went on a student exchange to South Africa when I was in year 9. So I must have been like 13, 14. And I didn't have a huge amount of control over what I ate. I also was staying with a family who ate quite a bit of meat, and I was like a borderline vegetarian. I ate some meat, but wasn't fully on everything. So at lunch, I would basically like have some popcorn and a cheese sandwich. And it wasn't great food. I also wasn't able to train properly. Like the pool that they had there was 14 degrees, which is cold. A normal pool feeling cold is like 27, 28. It'll be 28 degrees, low 28 degrees, and it feels cold. And it's just 14 degrees. So I was like shivering. And also, like, I didn't want to put out the family that I was staying with too much because I was having to train and that kind of thing. And I put on 3 kilos in the 3 weeks that I was there. Like, I can gain weight quite easily if I want to, which I rarely do, but I can if I want to. And I came back and my coach basically made a comment, and it was like, you can tell you've not been training or something like this. So I started to feel really uncomfortable. I would like hold my kit bag in front of my legs when I would like walk onto poolside and things like that. And there were constant times like that. When I qualified for like the GB Junior open water team, I remember being told by the GB open water lead that I think I must have been 17 at the time. And he was like, if you lose a few kilos, you'll be flying or something like that. And I think I must have been 68 kilos at the time, but like I was strong for an open water, for a long distance swimmer. I've always been like one of the strongest ones. When I was at Loughborough and we did our first testing week, like I was stronger than a lot of the sprinters, even though my event was, you know, 10 minutes longer than theirs or 2 hours longer than theirs. So I've always felt like I didn't really kind of fit into being a long distance athlete. And we also had like our skin folds done when I was at uni, and mine were over 100, only just over 100, I think. I don't even know what 100 means, but apparently I had to get under it. Didn't really get much advice on how to get under it, but apparently I had to get under 100. And that was kind of when I actually started to really notice that the way that I kind of was approaching food was not great. I had like a bit of a kind of binge and restrict, or like a binge and then over exercise. Like I became obsessed with peanut butter, but like I would order all the like the really fancy protein peanut butters and then basically just eat them the second that they got there. Like I would chase whatever cool bits were in there, and then all of a sudden I'd like almost finish the whole pot, and then I'd feel terrible, and I'd go to Powerbase and I'd sit on the bike at Powerbase for like an hour. And this is after, you know, a 20-hour week in terms of training, obviously probably more than that when we consider land training as well. And I was just so uncomfortable, and like, it was horrendous. And I started to kind of become a little bit freer when I was playing hockey. I put on not a huge amount of weight, but I probably hit like 80 kilos, which for me, like, that was quite a big thing. I'd probably put on like 8 kilos or something like that over the summer after I quit swimming. And so I felt horrible about myself. Like, I did not like my body. I did not like the way that I looked. And I kind of gradually started to lose that when I was in third year and doing my master's and getting more into training outside of the pool. But it felt quite restrictive for a long time. I was like exercising. I did like, have you ever heard of Kayla Itzinas or something? She's like some Australian super skinny like fitness blogger. Anyway, I did her program for a while, and because I found it so hard. I was like, how are these people that like have no like training history following this program for 12 weeks? Because it was literally like 7 minute blocks of like exercises. You'd have like a couple of minutes rest or whatever. You'd do another 7 minutes and you'd repeat it. So it was 28 minutes in total. But because I'm used to like training properly, I was like ending myself each 7 minutes. And I was like, I don't know how people are doing this. I'm dying. And so I just felt really lost with like training and nutrition and that kind of thing. And actually, like, CrossFit saved me, honestly. Like, I think it just gave me something that was bigger than just training for how I look. And I think that was like the biggest gift that CrossFit could have done, because when you go into a normal gym, you know, there's mirrors everywhere. And I was pretty comfortable in the weight section as well. So I wasn't one of those girls that was intimidated by going into the weight section. I would do squats. I would do deadlifts. I wouldn't do deadlifts. That's a lie. I hate deadlifts. But like, I would do squats and I would happily like, you know, do dumbbell bench press and stuff like that. Stuff that we had been doing from swimming training. But I wasn't that bothered about just trying to get stronger. That wasn't enough for me to stay there. I hated that overall aesthetic focus of the gym environment. And so then when I went into CrossFit and there were things that I could think about whilst training, whilst being active, that weren't just how is this affecting the way that I look, that was so freeing for me. Like, I could learn loads of new things and I could focus on getting stronger, but not just getting stronger for getting stronger's sake, like getting stronger so that I could do this really cool thing. And it was the thing that like took the focus away from my body. And then I started to go back to a nutritionist. I had to go back to tracking, which I was really nervous about at the start. But actually, tracking gave me the freedom to learn that I could have one or two biscuits and not ruin my diet. Because previously to that, I had been all or nothing. Like,
yeah.
I would save all of my Easter chocolate until after I'd done this like international event or whatever, and then I'd eat it all, and then I'd make myself sick. Like, make myself sick, not because I was like consciously throwing up, but because I had eaten so much chocolate that I felt sick. Or I would have the whole pack of biscuits because I couldn't possibly have one because I'd messed up my diet, and so I'd just eat it all. And so actually going back to tracking gave me that ability to be like, okay, this one biscuit is like 50 calories. I can fit that into what my overall intake should be. And that was like the start of creating a much more balanced approach to food and to exercise and to my nutrition and to my body, that I was like, actually, if I'm getting a bit heavier, but I'm performing how I need to be performing, or equally if I'm getting lighter, but my performance is the focus, that again was like the thing that was freeing. That, like, ironically, although I was, you know, really cared about my performance when I was growing up through all of the sports that I was doing, I think that I always wanted to perform but be skinny. which is a really sad thing to kind of admit, that like, as much as I wanted to perform at a really high level, I wanted to be skinny and I wanted to look like my friends and that kind of thing. And actually, like, once I started doing CrossFit, I was like, screw all that. I love doing this. Like, I want to be strong. I want to look like those really cool girls on the screen that I'm watching on the Netflix documentaries and stuff like that. And it just completely like shifted everything for me.
That, like, what you have said there, I have never resonated so much with. So similar, came from a rowing background, put on fat camp, literally shamed in front of people because I had weigh in every Thursday, but no nutritional guidance. And the same, like, I wanted to be skinny and be like my friends that didn't necessarily play sport at school. And then I did the same. Like, I would binge, but then I would eat lettuce leaves because I had no nutritional guidance because I had to make a weigh-in and my weight wouldn't drop. And I was, 10 kilos lighter than I am now. But actually, coming into rugby was a savior because you need your weight. And I then had such a far more healthier relationship with it. And no, you need your body and you need your strength and you need X, Y, and Z to perform. So I couldn't actually resonate any more with what you just said.
Yeah. And it's like, it's sad. I feel like everyone has their own story about that, you know, and not everyone finds that sport that like frees them or finds that thing that frees them. And that is like, it's doing a disservice to women. Like, it really is, because I think that, you know, men have their own kind of body dysmorphia things, but the message for women for so long has been train and get skinny, exercise to get skinny. And it is so much more than that. Like, I managed to like get my mum, like I finally managed to get her to see the buy-in to like training weights with weights, because she's getting older and the longer obviously you train with weights, you delay osteoporosis and all of these kind of things. And like, that's what people need to remember as well. Like, this is for health. It's not just for like skinniness or aesthetic. Like, this is for health. And whether you want to, you know, choose to play rugby, choose to do CrossFit, like whatever, you need to exercise and you need to lift some kind of weight, because you're not going to get bulky. Like, people couldn't look like us if they tried. Like, they could try their hardest and they would probably still not look as quote unquote manly as they might think that we look. And it's like, no, I'm really like, everything is focused towards looking like this and I still don't look manly. Like, so it's not going to happen. It's just, it's a narrative that needs to stop.
Oh no, absolutely. I love that so much. And I think another part of your journey that I think is really relatable is that, like, when you're a teenager, I think that's something that's massively changed. But before, we did not see women's athletes on TV, on Instagram, like in the media. So I guess you only seen like really skinny models or celebrities or singers or your friends. Like, there was nobody of, okay, I want to look like that. And I think it's so amazing that you found that in CrossFit, and it's amazing that sport has power to like change that perception that you have of yourself. It's so cool.
for sure.
Cool, love that. Thank you so much for sharing that part of your journey with us. And wanted to ask, as kind of before we go into our final bit, we've been asking all our guests to finish the sentence of success means.
So for me, I think success means, or is, when your kind of values, actions, goals all align. Like, I think one of my kind of biggest goals for myself, and I still don't think I'm quite there yet, because I think there's a big kind of quite adventurous side of myself that I neglect when I'm all in for sport. But I think like success also means making myself proud in everything that I do. Like, that is always one of the things that I kind of strive towards. But I think as long as what I'm kind of saying, doing, and want to achieve, as long as all of that is in line and I'm making myself proud with the way that I'm doing that, that to me is success. Like, you can't, especially with CrossFit, there's so much that you cannot control, that to think of it as just an outcome, like, that's I think I'd be disappointed a lot of the time. So yeah, I think it's all about like that process, which is cringy as hell, but like that process and making sure that everything is getting me towards where I want to be. That's what I've got to be pleased with.
Love it. That's good advice. Real good advice. Okay, final thing then. This or that. Quick fire. Rona, you want to go first?
Sweet, yes. So question one, tea or coffee?
Coffee.
Night in or night out?
Night in.
Cardio session or weight session?
I like cardio, but I probably need weight, so I'm going to go weight.
Oh, contro. iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
And final question, Aquarius or Libra?
What are the signs for each of them? I literally have no idea what.
This throws everybody. Just say one of them.
I'll go Aquarius. I'm a Cancer. That's the only one I know.
Basically, it's our star signs. So we're basically saying who you prefer. No, I'm joking.
I'm a Cancer, but I've got no idea what the actual Cancer qualities are. But my mum always used to be like, you're a Cancer, so you're hard on the outside and soft on the inside, which is actually very much me. Like, I'm a massive softie, but I'm like, don't fuck with me.
Sorry, hard exterior. Yeah.
No, so I love that. And yeah, that was such an amazing conversation. Like, the insight into CrossFit, it sounds absolutely mental. And your journey with it is so, so inspiring. So thank you for, yeah, sharing that with us in the podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much. Always be proud of who you are. Don't let this moment pass you by. You can be anything you believe.